This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Mark Billings. Mark's a partner in the transactional advisory practice at CFGI. I'm going to talk to him about what he's seeing today, his career, trends in the deal market, and a lot more. Mark, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Hey, thank you, Scott. Thank you for inviting me. It's a real pleasure to be here. My name's Mark Billings. I'm a transaction advisory partner. I'm focused on primarily healthcare transactions for the last 10 years for CFGI. CFGI, if you aren't familiar, is a small but growing portfolio company of the Carlyle Group. And our main mission really is to kind of service the office of the CFO and the owners and do whatever it takes from accounting advisory through to due diligence, the quality of earnings work that I do. And it's really resonated in that kind of middle market space.
Fantastic. And tell us, what are some of the big trends you see in the deal market today? Tell us a little bit about what you're seeing in the sort of the QOV, sell side, busy in the mid-market. What are some of the things you're seeing?
Certainly. So I'll talk a little bit first around some of the macro trends, and then maybe it'd be useful if I share some of the kind of the micro trends that I've seen with a lot of the portfolio companies and private equity clients that I serve. So from a macro trend perspective, what 2020 is enough said. What a roller coaster! And so just to kind of start with 2020, we were coming off the back of a great growth of GDP, markets really positive, and then slam COVID hits. And what seems to have happened, at least what I've seen on that kind of macro basis, is that there was that initial pause in March, April through June, very often specific by industry and by geography, depending on how the COVID has spread and impacted various regions. And what that did is it looks like deals have been kind of decreased year over year by probably a net 20%. What underlies that trend though is whereas in that first half there was that huge drop in both value and volume, what you saw in that second half, particularly in Q3, Q4, is just a huge kind of uptick. We've been super busy in that fourth quarter, as a lot of deals which were either slow or pushed started to come back to life. We did a number of roll forwards for various clients where they were looking to close in June, but ultimately the closure was in Q4. And then, as I think partly driven by the new administration and the potential changes which may come from that, I think a lot of people just started to try and play catch up and get a lot of deals done. So we're seeing a lot of positivity and a good momentum.
And what do you see for 2021? You see, your point is well taken. Look, 20% deals might have been down 20% last year, but Q2 half to three was totally dead. So in reality, Q4 was quite busy and Q1 was busy. What do you see for 2021?
I feel like, especially in my space, that nice middle market, lower middle market, and where I generally play, the momentum's going to continue. The tailwinds of continued capital raises, continued fundraising, then just that long-term trends, particularly in the healthcare kind of specialty physician practices that I do a lot of work with, as the baby boomer generation starts to retire over the next few years, that's really been spurring a lot of just organic deal making. A lot of consolidation in the industry and just that need to deploy capital and exit.
And if you're in a specialty physician practice, is there a particular age range which is the right time to do this? Because if you sell on the very verge of retirement, someone's not going to give you very much value unless you're in a large practice, but then it really isn't one or a few people. Is there a timing spot on these things that's particularly important?
That's a great question. I think I'm going to plump for the it depends. I really see a full range of kind of ambition and goals from a physician practice exit. I really see a lot of physicians who from an age range are in that kind of mid-50s to early 60s to even beyond, who have just got crazy amounts of energy. And they're looking for a financial sponsor who will help them build the platform that at this point in time they hadn't had a chance to do. And that is, you know, I love those kind of transactions and working with those type of physicians. It's always a pleasure to work with that kind of entrepreneurial spirit. And then similarly, you at the other end, you see people who have done that bit and have other interests and are looking to then exit and kind of pass on the baton and move on. And so it's very much in terms of the best age, I think it's so relative.
So much so. And where do you, and I'm asking for a friend, not for myself, where do people in those mid-50s find that level of tremendous energy? Asking for a friend. No, I'm just kidding. Where does you see this crazy amount of energy? Where do they find that? Where does that continued drive and energy come from? Is that just naturally wired in them, or they found it again, or how do they find that?
A little bit of it is that the founder's entrepreneurial spirit, which, as you might be able to tell, I'm originally from the UK, and healthcare is very different. And healthcare and business in the US definitely is driven by a very physician-centric ability to innovate and be entrepreneurs and get the upside kind of wealth build and generation from that. And I think that culture is very much where it comes from. I think it's that positivity that exists here in this country.
Let me ask you a question now. As you look at this next generation, so much digital technology, digital health, tremendous amount of entrepreneurial effort, sort of an amount that's almost mind, blowing how much is going on out there and people are attacking and doing new things. Do you get a chance to play in that space as well in what you're doing or a piece of what you're doing?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's not been a deal that I've seen where it's maybe the health service core service, where when we're talking specifically around some of these entrepreneurial physicians and providers, that they haven't potentially got a side interest or a side project with some potential organic IT and tech focus slant to it. And that's kind of been presented itself more and more often. I did kind of 10 years back in my big four days, did some of the kind of the early large data analytics in healthcare deals. And it's flowed through since then to right down from large down to small businesses.
And which big four firm were you with?
I was with PwC. So I spent
PwC. Is PwC the best of the big four, or how would you rank that?
Well, I'm obviously no longer with PwC, so I will reserve judgment. CFGI, is snapping at the heels.
You're a good person. What else? In terms of private equity involvement today compared to 20 years ago, give us a sense of how different the world is and how much private equity is involved in it today in the deal flow that you see in the world you inhabit versus what it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, certainly. And I'll give you a pass on potentially dating me a little bit. 20 years ago was very, very early in my career right there. So I think the biggest difference I've seen as private equity has evolved over the last 20 years has been, I think, the sophistication of the deal making and the due diligence work. So as private equity has evolved and grown, and it's become part of, I think, the fabric in so many different industries now, that it's regulators, for example, and even the public are playing a little bit of catch up. And so I think you'll see, and you're seeing right now, that kind of maturing, as particularly in the last kind of 5 to 10 years, as some of the larger players have gone public. Private equity being a accepted model of and way to deploy capital. And I think just kind of moving on to kind of next steps, I think what you'll see too is that evolution continue with a kind of more education about the positivity that using private equity brings to the market.
Thank you. And then, Mark, how do people learn more about you and your firm? How do they learn more about you guys?
How to learn more about us?
More about your firm and your team and what you all do.
Sure. So if you want to learn more, you can look at our website, cfgi.com. Or you can reach out to me at mbillings@cfgi.com. I can explain a little bit further right now what we do. So the core practice deals with complicated accounting advisory solutions. So we do not audit, and so we don't have the independence issues that the Big Four and some of the other larger accounting firms hit up against, and it means that we're very operationally focused. We generally are able to deploy interim controllers, interim CFOs, for example, in that first 100 days post-deal, and be able to take the learning we gained in our buy-side due diligence and our quality of earnings and really help that with post-deal integration. And then beyond that, as a company grows, to the extent that there's ultimately IPOs or IPO readiness needed, or post-public looking to do filings, we're able to provide those services and help basically the CFO to have as much success as possible during their role in the company.
And when people are doing sort of sell-side due diligence this year or QV earnings, how are they normalizing earnings given sort of the disruptions of this past year? And what are you seeing in some of that?
Yes, certainly. So there's definitely been a challenge, and so much ultimately depends upon the data which is available. And so sometimes what we've seen is a clear-cut kind of a dip and then the growth. And if a company had an original budget and it has a sophisticated kind of forecast model, which you can validate down ultimately to the day of the closure of offices or practices in via their financial reports, you can work some way to kind of fill the gap, where would they have been during that downturn? And that really helps if there has been a subsequent uptick. So if we're doing diligence right now, we're doing diligence on companies which reporting through November, and a lot of what we're seeing by September, October time, a lot really we're able to pivot to remote working, pivot to in the healthcare space, telemedicine if they could, and started to get back to normal in the kind of subsequent to October. And so in that situation, we're able to at least present the data with some limited assumptions if need be to potential buyers, and you know, they can do their diligence and buy off, and it becomes part of the negotiation.
In prices, back to what we were seeing, really high multiples at the end of last year, or really early last year, are multiples again really high based on where are multiples at? Is the trend seller's market, high multiples, or what are you seeing there?
Yeah, it's I think the trend for multiples is still super high. It's not really gone away, particularly in those areas which are more kind of hot right now. So for example, behavioral health this year is I've spent a lot of time doing deals there because that both had a lot of momentum going into the year. And then similarly, a lot are somewhat tech enabled with able to do the kind of telemedicine in a lot of situations. And so I've seen multiples remain high in most of the deals I've seen. And I think a lot of that is also driven by, you know, the one or two, the few, you know, larger transactions. And then there's a little piece too, where as private equity kind of turns to more kind of growth equity companies, they're kind of going a little bit downstream, that has supported multiples too.
Thank you, Mark, for your insight today. What a pleasure visiting with you and learning more about your firm and what you all do and perspectives on the market. Thank you so much for joining the Becker Private Equity Podcast.
You're welcome. Thank you.